Welcome to the Tulsa Music Stream. And now, your host, Scott and Jana Squires. You want the dirt? You've got it.
Hey everyone, I'm Scott Squires. I'm your host with the Tulsa Music Stream, and this is Jana Squires.
Hello, good evening.
This is episode 111, and we'll be joined with Steve Brown, drummer of Tesla.
Yep, he is waiting in the wings as we speak. I'm going to work on letting him in while I'm doing that. Why don't you go ahead and tell them about our...
I was getting ready to.
Okay, here's your screen. Here you go.
Okay, so make sure you hit subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are now, over 1,000... About 1,040 now, so that's cool. We appreciate each and every one of you guys for hitting subscribe. Make sure you hit like and that notification bell. Also, you can follow us on Facebook. We are now on X, and we are now verified on X. Woo-hoo. We are at TOL Music Stream. We're on Twitch. And, of course, your podcast platforms like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, and so many more. Also, just check us out on TikTok, Instagram, and we also have shorts on our YouTube page, and we'll be joined here with Steve Brown.
Can you hear
me?
Is
that working?
Yeah.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. I knew you were going to get it. It's just, good things come to those who wait. Happens. It's okay, buddy.
They don't trust me very often with electronic stuff.
Yeah, us neither.
this is why.
It's okay. I knew you'd get it. We just had to hang in there. How the heck are you feeling, Steve Brown? How are things going?
I think we might need to turn him up a little bit.
Okay.
I'm good. I know. Well, because all this computer crazy stuff that's going on with all the flights and everything, a lot of the hotels and stuff don't have Wi-Fi, and it's really weird right now.
Yeah.
So I had to march around, in which I found this great yellow chair.
I like it. It's earthy.
I'm sure there's going to be tourists and stuff going by any minute.
That's part of the fun. We'll get them involved as well. Well, we do want to thank you for joining Tulsa Music Stream tonight. My name is Jana. This is Scott. Appreciate
your time.
Hey,
man. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, it's great
to
see you.
How are you guys?
We're good.
So while Mick Brown, are you mild, Steve Brown?
George Lynch came up with that, and Blabbermouth took off on it, and it stuck. So there you go.
I don't believe it, though, because I don't think there's anything mild about you. And I think the more we get into this, we're going to figure that out. You're your own guy, and you stand on your own 2 feet. And we're going to hear your story. Why don't we first talk about what's going on with Tesla? Let me put this up on the screen. You guys are in the middle of the Keeping It Real 2024 tour. The fans out there can see all show dates at TeslaTheBand.com. And I want to know, how are the shows going so far? You've been out there a couple months. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, we went out in January, in January until February. And then, some dates in February, March, we did, most of the whole month and stuff. So actually, we're just getting back out. We had a few weeks off. And this, last night was our third show, I think.
Yeah.
We played in Brother Kane on Friday night, and Saturday we played with Winger and Firehouse, a couple of festival type things, outdoor shows, and last night we were in Kansas City. So today we're in Colorado on a day off on our way to Idaho.
Okay, and you're doing this fun stuff with us on your day off. And I thought it would be cool to kind of spotlight a few of the shows that you guys have coming up. You're talking about festivals, and this looks like it's going to be so much fun. This is the Mountain Music Festival. It's going to be in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. You guys are playing with Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Night Ranger, Foghat, Alda Nova, Slaughter, Quiet Riot, Lynch Mob, and a ton more. Tell me a little bit about how these festival gigs work, because they've got to be a ton of fun. But I'm curious, do you typically just have to get there and do your set and then on to the next city? Or do you actually get to spend some time with your friends and the other bands and get caught up with those guys a little bit?
Mainly it's a really good chance for all of us to see our friends and stuff too. And they're kind of hectic, though. I mean, at the end of the day, you're just wiped out.
Sure.
By the time you get to play, you've seen everyone, and there's so much excitement going on. And you know, and it, you know, usually we like, you know, the one that we just did with just three bands, not 30, you know, we checked in at like, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:30 in the morning. And then, you know, we don't play until, you know, 9:45, 10 o'clock. So those are long days.
Absolutely.
So that's so, but man, they're always so fun. And, you know, we did this show a couple of years ago. I think the day that we had was us and Winger and John Corabi was the host. And it was basically, you know, it was kind of like the Monsters of Rock cruise, but on land.
Yeah, right?
So,
exactly.
And that was in Pigeon Forge a couple of years ago. So I'm looking forward to going to Gatlinburg and checking that out. Yeah, I mean, those are always fun shows. And you know, God, talk about a lineup, you know, to see. You know, it's like everyone you can imagine.
For
sure. One shot, you know. Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you'll be joining us here in Tulsa November 13th, 8 p.m. at the Hard Rock Cafe. Or no, I'm sorry, yes. Casino.
Yeah, Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. Guys, get your tickets to that. There's no excuse to not go to this. This is in our area. Get your tickets at tickets.hardrockcasino.com. Steve, I'm assuming you've played the Tulsa area before. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was just going to say the Tulsa Hard Rock is my favorite out of
right
all
on.
Of them.
Cool.
Yeah, it was so cool. The last time we were there, I was like, do we have to leave?
You know, that brings me to my next question for you. This is a perfect segue. I've always felt, you know, you guys are beloved all over the globe, but there seems to be a special affinity and affection for Tesla from the folks in the Midwest. I have my own opinions why I think that is. Why don't you tell me, what do you think it is about Tesla that is so appealing to the blue-collar, hardworking Midwestern folks in our area and the entire Midwest?
Well, I think, you know, I think you kind of said it, though, like hardworking, you know, average Joe type guys. I mean, the guys are all pretty normal. I mean, there's no like mystique about what we're doing. You know, we're playing rock and roll music to people that love it and, you know, that work hard at it. And, you know, we work hard at it. So, you know, being out on the road and bringing it to the people that we love, you know, that's a no brainer. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And, you know, it's a testament to the band, too. The fans have been there from the beginning. And, you know, every person that I talk to that comes to shows, and they've been to, you know, all of these hundreds of shows, or, you know, and I've seen the band so many times, and starting with, you know, Def Leppard in 87, or, you know, I was at Texas Jam, or,
yeah,
you know, all these things. So there's always a million stories of how many people have seen this band over that long of period. And that's a really neat thing.
For that's sure. Really cool. Now, you just mentioned playing with Firehouse, and of course, you know, they just recently lost the, you know, the amazing CJ Snare. How are the guys doing? I'm sure you've had some time to hang out with them and talk to them some. What a tragic loss with, you know, CJ.
Yeah, the guys are doing great. It was really great to see them, and their new singer is fantastic.
Yes.
And I mean, you know, the band's playing really great. So, you know, what a hard thing. I can't imagine. I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like to lose somebody that you're close to, that you've been business partners and, you know, band partners and business partners with for that many years, and then, you know, have to go on without them. I can't imagine. I hope I never have to have a better understanding of that, you know.
Yeah.
But they're killing it, man, and that's a great thing too, you know. It's like, wow.
And you know, that's very what cool. CJ would want them to do. I mean, is carry on his legacy, and I know that they're doing that quite well. You know, you mentioned just a minute ago Monsters of Rock, and we're really glad to see that you guys have been added to the Monsters of Rock cruise next year in 25. Give us a sense of how crazy those experiences are, because not only, I'm sure, are you just having a blast playing your show, but interacting with the fans as well. What is that experience like for you?
To sum it up, it's no sleep for 5 days.
That's right.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no going, there's no popping out to get something to eat or go, you know, get something to drink or something like that. It's, you know, it's everyone that you want to see and hang out and talk. And the next thing you know, you're like, hey, I got to go to bed. I got to, you know, I got to play tomorrow or,
right,
you know, whatever. So, but it's just, it's hard to get rest on those things, you know, but there's so much fun.
For sure, man.
You know, we've had, you know, all the members of Dokken except for Mick on our show, so it's a pleasure to have his brother on here at least. And we've had
yeah, you got a half. How right. about that? You got half the brown.
And of course, we've had Jeff Keith from Tesla on here, and you know, we've actually a story that, you know, one of the things that we were, you know, of course, was talking about was, of course, Troy and everything. And I'm sure that's, you know, it's water under the bridge by now and all that good stuff. But, you know, back then, you know, you coming in, and it was had to be a lot of pressure, a lot of questions from fans, a lot of people not knowing what's going on. How did you handle it yourself? Going through that and seeing your bandmates and these guys and not knowing if he's coming back or if he is coming back or if, you know, if he's not coming back. How did you handle all of that yourself?
Well, I mean, I think that something to remember too is that I've been around these guys for a really long time. I mean, we've worked together for 15 years prior to this. You know, I've been in and out of certain situations and everything. And, you know, Troy would call me back in those, in the past also, if he wasn't feeling well or if he couldn't make a show or do something like that. So this was really, Troy picked up the phone and called me and just said, hey, you know, this is what's happening right now. And can you come out for, you know, an unknown period of time at that time?
Yeah.
And of course, it was an easy thing to do because, again, you know, a lot of replacing somebody in a band is really more about the hang than it is about the playing. You know what
yes.
I mean? And
yes.
So for those guys to be comfortable enough to have me around in their bus right around and know what they were getting into, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, God, you and Jeff, not another one of these guys. But but you know, so that it was kind of an easy thing to do. Now, you know, and I know that people don't necessarily understand the ins and outs of touring and being in a band. You know, they just want their band to remain the same always, forever, and all those things. And you know what? Sometimes it's just not possible. And you know, I've been around it long enough and had to step into somebody else's shoes, you know, my brothers, for example, you know, a million times. And so this is something that this is what I do, you know, and so it was kind of comfortable. And plus, you know, I love these guys and they've been a part of my life for a really long time. I mean, I met them when they were opening for Dokken when I was 12.
Wow. So, and that was at the Cow Palace, right?
No, wait, that was, no. That was Dio and Y&T.
That's right.
At the Cow Palace. This was at a little club. Dokken was on the Tooth and Nail tour. And in Sacramento, and you know, my parents snuck me in the back door because I was 12. It was in a bar, but you know, that was kind of one of those interesting things. You know, you fast forward through your life, and I'm like, wow, in 1982, I met you guys, and here we are. You know,
yeah.
It's kind of funny.
That's
an amazing thing.
You just mentioned your parents. Just you telling that little story that leads me to believe that they were very supportive of you and Mick and your aspirations to make it in this field.
Yeah, I don't know how they did it. I don't. They're, you know, to be honest, they're both deaf. But you know, Mick's older than I am. He's 14 years older than I am. So, you know, I was kind of the oops, guess what? And you know, then when I started playing drums, you know, I'm sure my parents were like, "Oh God, not another one of these guys." You know,
yeah. Great. Did you follow his career a lot?
That seems to be the reoccurring thing in my life. Oh, not another one of those guys. Anyway, but you know, by the time I started playing drums and everything, they were super supportive, and you know, they were at every show, at every crappy place, and sometimes, to be honest, they were the only people there in the audience. You know,
wow.
And so they've seen all of it. They've seen it all, and they've done it all. And we loved them for it, and we couldn't have asked for better parents and, you know, a better situation. They're the best. We love them.
Definitely.
You know, I've had the chance and opportunity and the honor to open up for Dokken a few times here in Tulsa and got to meet him a few times and great guy and fun to play when she got to even get on stage with Dokken and do In My Dreams. And she had a little on stage conversation with Mick and everything.
It was great.
And I know he, you know, just finally had enough, you know, the touring, the week, the fly-in dates and all that stuff, you know, after a while, you know, it's a lot of wear and tear. I believe, did you fill in for him for a few shows with Dokken?
Not with Dokken, but you know, recently I did M3 with Lynch Mob and yeah, and a couple other shows. But yeah, I mean, there was some stuff here and there, but nothing worth mentioning.
Right, and I know he just was selling off his stuff. Were you able to get snipe some of his stuff and any of his equipment? Were you able to grab anything? Assemble?
That's funny. That's the second time somebody this week has asked me that question. No, I didn't take any of it because it's beat up. I mean, and I mean, you know, when I was younger and he had a Tama endorsement, you know, he would send all that stuff back home to us. And so, you know, I had all these outlandish drum kits that I couldn't use. I mean, you know, what am I going to play in this bar with a double long 26 inch bass drum and a cage that, but however, I will say that I did set that cage up a few times and play it in a club opening for other bands.
Oh, it took, wow.
It took a 26 foot U-Haul truck and eight people to help me put it in to play 20 minutes of really crappy songs for eight people.
Right.
Man.
Now that's
so I never did it again, but
That's the drum set that he used in that video, right? It's Not Love. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes. Yeah. I had that one for a long time. Well, all of them, really, you know, here and there. But then, you know, somewhere around the 90s when things got tight, you know, those disappeared and got sold off to here and there. And you know, anymore, you know, what are you going to do with that stuff? I mean, I have his Monsters of Rock kit that he played on you know, for the Van Halen Monsters Rock thing in '88.
Yeah.
I have that kit.
So cool.
And you know, sometimes I look at it, but you know, you'd be surprised, man. No one wants that stuff. You know, his drums were on sale for like, you know, I mean, he was selling them for like a year or two. And you know, finally this guy Jason Jones, and hi Jason, I mentioned your name, yeah. in Oregon, he's in a Dokken tribute band. And he bought all the stuff, and what a perfect way to continue that. You know, I think
right.
It's cool. You know, what am I going to do with it? It's going to sit in a storage place. So,
sure,
you know.
Sure. Let me read you some fan comments. Tommy Whitecotton is in here. He said Steve jumped in.
Hi,
and
Tommy.
He said Steve jumped in and has done an awesome job. His energy level has really made a difference. And Kimber Bailey agrees with that. Your fan Gilligan says hello. And
I met Gilligan last night.
Right on.
He's in here a lot.
He comes in here quite a bit. And Steve. And our friend Leslie says, I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one who's thought this. Steve looks like Matt Damon. Have you ever gotten that one?
No, I usually get Jack Black, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and you know, a lot of people mistake me for Troy, of course, all the time. I don't know how that's possible either, but I you know, people thinking that you look like something is the most ridiculous thing to me, because it's always the furthest thing from what you think you look like. You
all right. Todd Benton says, love Tesla and this interview. We took my daughter Tesla to see them in Denver at the Mission Ballroom last month, and they were amazing. So I guess his daughter's Tesla.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Man, Todd, put in the chat, is your daughter named after the band? I'm curious. That's really cool. Let's shift gears a minute. I want to talk about the End Machine. This is a really killer band, Steve, and you joined in 2021. Yeah, I mean, you can definitely call this a super group with George Lynch, Jeff Pilson, and originally the singer was Robert Mason. Talk
right.
about getting into that project. I know Steve was in, or I'm sorry, I know Mick was in this, and you stepped in when he decided to hang it up.
Right.
What's it like playing with these guys?
Awesome.
I bet. I bet.
You know, again, too, you know, I'm so fortunate to be kind of around situations that are like family, you know, and, you know, George has known me since I was four. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he's been around that long. We've been around each other. And, you know, I met Jeff Pilson when I was like 11 or 12. And so to them, I'm sure to them, you know, when that first record that I played on, Phase 2, it was going to come out, you know, and I wanted to record it. I'm sure that they had their hesitations. You know, they don't know. They just see me as this little kid running around backstage stealing their beers. Mm-hmm. You know? And, so it was kind of the thing that kind of went out on a limb a little bit and said, hey, can you maybe come down and record some of these songs? And it fell together really, really naturally. And to them, it was quite a pleasant surprise that, you know, Mick and I play so much alike and we're so similar in so many ways. So for them, it was an easy transition too. They didn't have to worry about another personality or something that they weren't familiar with, and the playing was going to be pretty much the same.
Sure.
So, and you know, it's kind of accidental. It's, I mean, it's in the DNA, and it's in so many years of watching my brother play, I'm sure, you know. Yeah. But Jeff and George were just like, no way, you know, like, this is happening this way. It's awesome, you know.
Yeah.
And we immediately got on the phone and FaceTime Mick, and, you know, just they had a laugh over how fun it was, and we really, you know, we really get to enjoy it, and we're gonna do more. We're gonna do more stuff with that.
Well, the quantum phase was released in March of this year. Of course, you have two singles that you put out: Black Hole Extension and Silent Rider, I believe.
Winter.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I had it written down wrong. Of course, produced by Jeff Pilson. I listened to the album. I think it's some songs were a little edgy, some darkness in there in his guitar writing, yeah, which is a little different from George, you know. But great album. The singer, I can't pronounce his name.
Is it Girish?
Girish
Pradhan?
Girish.
Where did you find Pradhan, this guy at?
Well, he came to us through the president of Frontiers. I think so. I don't know. You know, this is like, they talked to Jeff and George about this, and then they called me and they said, listen, we got the singer. And you know, me, like everyone else, was like, well, how's this going to, you know, what is he like? How's it going to work out? And at that time when they called me, they didn't know either. You know, they were like, I don't know. It came suggested as, you know, part of this thing. But wow, what a singer, what a talent, and what a super nice guy, you know, like, just, he came, when we shot the videos, you know, that was his first time coming to the United States. So, it was a really interesting thing for him, I'm sure, you know, and then we were out in the desert and he shows up and they just whisked him off to go do filming, and we didn't get to meet him until like later in the day when we were all shooting together. And so,
oh, wow.
But immediately, you know, I had talked to Jeff maybe a few days into him sending. He was supposed to come to the States to do the vocals in person in Jeff's studio, and he couldn't get a visa to get out of India.
Wow.
That got goofed up somehow. And you know what? But no one could have been happier with the results. You know, he did all of those things remotely, and that is something that's so amazing to me when I listen to that record, because it sounds like we did it in a room together, and his ideas and his vocal ideas and stuff, you know, I mean, he really just picked it up and ran with it, and was very, very pleased, you know, everyone was, I mean, and then to have him be such a sweet, nice guy to boot, you know, and such an ass kicker, Jesus.
Yeah.
What a perfect choice, you know.
Absolutely.
There's 11 songs on there, 11 tracks produced by Jeff Pilson. Jeff did an amazing job on it. I mean,
dude,
is there anything that Jeff Pilson does that isn't amazing?
No. that leads me to my next question for you, because I feel like Jeff Pilson is one of the top producers today, and I think everything he puts out sounds so pristine and so good. Tell us what it's like, you know, working with him, not just as a fellow musician in the studio, but when he produces, you know, what is that like? Does he really push you pretty hard until he feels like he's gotten the best take out of you?
No.
It's all remotely, you know, so.
Well, no, I mean, you know, I went down to his studio to do the drum tracks, but both records, I mean, you know, I don't think we didn't spend more than 2 days on the whole record. I mean,
wow.
You know, I went down and did the drum tracks, and, you know, and in some of the cases, you know, my approach to it is might be a little unorthodox, and the fact that I just kind of listen to the songs and let them kind of stew in me a little bit, so I kind of get the arrangements down, because I don't want to go into the studio like too over prepared and have all these ideas of how I think things should go, because, you know, Jeff, I'm sure that Jeff and George have their own opinions on how it should go. But in this case, you know, because they knew that my brother's plane was going to be part of my plane, I think too, you know, it was very, very simple. And you know, I, of course, you know, I had a few ideas, and then Jeff would either go, yeah, you know, let's try this a different way or something. But it went super fast. I mean, phase two record, I went down on a Sunday, and I think like that, I set up at like, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock, and by 7 o'clock we had one of the songs done already. So,
wow.
So it's a pretty fast process, and he knows his studio so well, and he knows how everything works so quickly that it's just bang, 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 you know,
yeah.
And, perfect. And he and George, of course, work really well together. And that second record was done during the pandemic. So
yeah.
They live near each other. But because of the pandemic, they did everything remotely over Zoom, and they have, you know, all the technology that we have now, Jeff could run George's studio from his house, and they could just do all the stuff. And it was just like, are you kidding me? This is how we do this? And I can't find the mute button on the Zoom call.
Jesus. You got it.
So whatever.
What I find fascinating after doing so much research on you was I never knew that you were the drummer for Oleander. And
absolutely.
And when I was younger, early 2000s, I believe, we actually covered the Why I'm Here song, which I love that tune. But tell me a little bit how you got in and with those guys. Of course, that, you know, kind of leaped you into playing with Ronnie Montrose, but we'll get to that after this.
Well, those guys, it happened the same way as the Tesla thing. Look, we all live in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. We're all friends. And I was in a band that the Oleander guys loved, and they didn't want to break that band up because that was one of their favorite bands. And I was like, please, you know, come on, get me in the band. I want to go on the road with you guys. But, it happened kind of, you know, in an on and off thing. You know, their first drummer, they were having problems with that, with them on the road or something. And then, you know, they called me and they said, hey, we have a couple of shows to do. Can you help us, you know, get these shows done? Sure. But, you know, 24 years later now, here we still are, and I'm still friends with those guys, and you know, I still see them. And, you know, we're still tentatively talking about doing some more stuff. So we'll see. You know, we'll see if time allows and how that works out. But that it was the same way, and I really enjoyed that process with those guys, too. We did a lot of neat stuff together, you know?
Yeah.
Cool.
You know, it's kind of cool. You can do, like, a Monsters of Rock tour, and then after that's finished, you can go on to, like, an edge-type tour, you know, with a lot of the 2000
right.
bands and stuff, and just well, get all of the whole pie, you know?
Oleander did get tapped for the Creed cruise,
yeah,
and because, you know, Creed and Oleander used to tour together a lot, and those guys are, you know, all intertwined, and but in the end, you know, it didn't happen this last year, but they're talking about next year, and we'll see how schedules work out. I mean, you know,
right.
If I can do it, if Tesla's off, then awesome. Sure. You know, it'd be great to go from the Monsters of Rock cruise and then skip over to the.
That'd be awesome.
The Creed cruise, and
right?
Yeah, I think I might be a little cruised out by that time.
Yeah, this must run in the family. This must run in your family. But your brother, he got to play with Ted Nugent, and you, of course, got to play drums with Ronnie Montrose, a legend. Yeah. I'm sure there's probably some Sammy Hagar stories he's probably have told you, but
I ain't telling him.
Darn it!
Sammy Hagar's off the chart for me. So
yeah, but wow, what a legend! What an experience for you.
What you haven't mentioned is, you know, I got that gig because the Montrose gig because Mick was doing it, and he loved playing with Ronnie Montrose. He loved all of it, but he had to go back out with Ted Nugent, so. He called Ron, and you know, I was also in a million bands in Sacramento with Dan McNay, who was playing in Jack Russell's Great White, and he and I were super close, and he was playing bass, so it was kind of an easy transition to make. And Mick called Ronnie and said, "Listen, you know, I got to go back out with Ted, but why don't you call my brother? He lives in Sacramento, and you guys are kind of near each other." And Ronnie called me, and we just had a conversation, and he goes, yeah, you guys are brothers, all right. I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Wow.
That's funny.
That's cool.
So,
you know,
I I enjoyed those. I mean, you know, it was for a few years, and those were the best. You know, that was the best touring, the most fun, and wow, what an experience to play with a legendary guy like that. You know,
yeah.
He had a million stories, and you know, they usually ended with me and Dan walking in a hallway somewhere in a hotel and looking at each other and going, "Can you believe what we just heard?"
You know what's so great about, you know, both those bands that we just talked about? You know, you put out your top 10 albums, and 10 came in Montrose, the 1973 album. Oleander, February Sun came in at number 9. 8 was Tesla, Mechanical. 7 was Last in Line, Dio, 1984 album. 6 was Lynch Mob, Wicked Sensation. Now I want to ask you about these top 5 here. Come in at 5 was Abbey Road of the Beatles. What made you pick that album?
There's so many. This is my list?
This is your list. I read this list.
He already forgot.
This is a list you had out to someone.
Somebody asked me to make a list, and how do you narrow it down to 10 things? Of course Abbey Road's going to be on there. I'm surprised they didn't put it as number 1. I think it only ended up at number 5 because of what was number 1?
Well, let's get to that. Number 4 was Led Zeppelin 4, which was perfect because it's 4. So Led Zeppelin 4 came in at 4.
I misspelled Zeppelin in my thing. I remember that because somebody busted my balls about it.
It's a great album.
It was 8 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, I'm in Podunk, Idaho on a bus somewhere, and I misspelled Led Zeppelin. And, of course, you know, some chucklehead is always like,
right. He got you.
But, you know, being a drummer, I could see how that could be a drummer's favorite Zeppelin album. I mean, all the Zeppelin albums, heavy drums on there, but that one's just monster.
Right. I mean, you know.
And of course, you had to go. Number 3 was 2112 Rush, 1976 album. Number 2 was the first.
I still agree with myself on that one. Agree with myself.
Good deal.
Number 2 was Van Halen 1.
Okay, great.
Came at number 2.
What's number 1?
Number 1. Do you remember?
No.
1976, Boston.
Ah.
Oh, okay. Well, yes. All right. Thank you. Yeah. You know what? I picked that. We can explain that one real easy. Mick and I have a middle brother, Bob, who's 10 years older than I am. And so, you know, when I was a kid, he had a huge record collection. And of course, you know, 77, that record came out. And what, I was 6 or 7. And man, it just blew my mind. And I couldn't get enough of it. And so I think that was really the record that was, I always say that was my Beatles on Ed Sullivan record.
Wow.
That was the thing that did it for me. You know, my brother got to see the Beatles on Ed Sullivan and I don't know, that Boston record just did it for me. And I really kind of like got into it after that.
So cool.
So that was a personal, I mean, those were all personal picks. I wasn't trying to, you know, you make a list and everyone wants to argue with you immediately on, you know, how dumb you are about this or that, you know, I'm like, all right.
That's why
I kind of didn't remember, because I kind of made the list, listen to everyone, argue with me about it. And then, you know, I kind of put it out of my mind.
And you made sure that you got each one of your guys' bands in there, you know, and then of course, you could tell, like, some of the ones, like the Zeppelin 4, the 2112, Van Halen. I mean, Alex Van Halen, as a drummer, you could see why. And then, of course, Last in Line, of course, as well, because I believe that you're a Vinny fan.
Yes.
Nice.
Vinny is my fave. and, you know, I still, to this day, we haven't met in person yet. And I was at M3 playing with Lynch Mob. A few months back, and we were leaving, and we were on our way out, and Vinny was standing right next to me, but he was talking to somebody, and I kind of just went, "I gotta go, dang it."
That's great.
Now, if Jordan didn't know how much it would have meant to me, you know, he would have, you know, he probably would have stopped and said, "Hey, go talk to Vinny or whatever," you know. But I love those things; they're kind of funny, it's mainly because, you know, and that, getting back to that list a little bit, you know, that list was things that meant something to me, you know, personally. And and the reasons, and those records, probably those 10 records are still records to this day that I can go back and they still take me back to that place of, which is what music's supposed to do, you know, like,
yes.
It takes me back to that feeling of, oh my God, I want to learn how to play this on drums, or, you know, yeah. or that drummer's so great. And some of those records I just listened to, I never learned, you know, but of course, you know, the Tesla and the Oleander is going to be on there and stuff like that, because I was not only in the bands, but, you know, I'm a fan. I'm yep. a Troy Lucetta fan, you know, and I told Troy, I got to tell him before I came out, you know, we had conversations on the phone, and I told him how much, you know, going back to the Eric Martin band and 415 and all of those guys, and how much that meant to me for his playing, and of course for him to, you know, tap me on the shoulder. But you know, I just wanted to make sure that he knew that it meant something to me, you know, and it does.
And of course you put, you know, the two albums that you weren't on. So that was really cool how you did that. Awesome.
Well, yeah, I don't know. You know, it's like, if I'm on the record, it's gonna mean something totally different to me.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to remember what a pain in the ass it was to make it or something, you know, or how much fighting we had in the studio, or I don't know.
Oh, let's not even go there. I want to backtrack to something you kind of alluded to earlier in the interview. I don't know if you've had a chance to see that video that's kind of going viral that Jizzy Pearl has put out, the singer of Quiet Riot, where he's addressing the situation that Skid Row is going through right now, where they're probably getting inundated with audition tapes for lead singers. And he really does an amazing job in this interview of explaining in great detail how absolutely difficult the lifestyle of a touring musician is. You guys put your bodies through hell, basically 22, 23 hours a day, for the payoff of the 1 hour on stage where it's glorious and wonderful. In your words, kind of help all of us out here understand how absolutely taxing and grueling this can be on your body physically, what you guys are doing.
Well, look at this.
Do that again. I need to put that up again.
I said, look at this.
Oh, geez.
Well, you know, it is. I mean, the shows, it's almost like we get paid to travel and then the shows are just kind of a bonus.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, it is hard, and it's hard to, you know, everyone has their different things, and, you know, I it's different every time we go out, and sometimes they're harder than others. Like last month, you know, we were gone for longer than we usually are, and you know, we were going through Texas. It's a billion degrees. It was humid as hell, and, you know, the air conditioning on the bus isn't working that great. So it's just, there's no escaping it. It's hard. You're not sleeping well. You're not eating well, you know, and then, you know, you got to put the good face on it and go out and make a rock show. And
yes.
And I think for the Tesla guys, those guys are like, man, they're like tanks. You know what I mean? All of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they just go and go and go. And yeah, you know, it can be a really tiring experience. And, you know, my brother and I both have arthritis, and I have psoriatic arthritis. And it's very painful to not only play a show, but then lay around, you know, in a bunk that's going all night, you know,
God.
And your joints are killing you.
Yeah.
So those things are hard. But look, the payoff is the shows and the fans and the people and you know, that's what it's all about. So you know, it's worth it in that aspect, because every day is kind of the day where you wait around for the show and you're tortured and you're like, oh God, it's hot, or whatever whatever the adverse, you know, situation may be, and then the show happens and you forget all about that other crap that you were complaining about all day, and you're like, all right, where are we going tomorrow?
Right.
So
it's just kind of that repeat, you know, motion.
Sure.
So what do you do on your spare time between dates? Do you do
sleep.
Like just a lot of sleeping, interviews,
right.
hanging out, doing this? Do you go out and eat? Do you check out restaurants, or do you just basically have to eat a certain diet or anything like that?
Diet, right. I try my best. But, man, that chocolate and those donuts and that pizza are just so great at 4 o'clock in the morning on the bus.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's the worst. I can't help it. But, You know, everyone has different things to do. Like, you know, today we have a day off and we're in Fort Collins, Colorado. Isn't that where we are? I don't know. Something like that. Fort Collins, I think. And then tomorrow we're going to be in Bozeman, Montana on a day off. And then we go to Idaho. So we're going to have 2 days off. And usually we're next to a mall. So usually there's a shoe shopping and those types of things and whatever boring things at a mall. Trust me, we've seen everything in a mall that you can possibly imagine because every mall we've been to. And whatever restaurants. And then there's a group of guys, you know, like Brian Wheat and those guys, they loved the steakhouses and the really good restaurants and stuff like that. And I'm a little bit more of a, like, I like to stick around the hotel and the bus, and you know, I don't venture off too far or do anything too crazy. I like to relax and like recharge a little bit. But I like to hang out with the crew guys and sometimes we play cards with Jeff Keith and stuff like that. So, you know, it's all about kind of making, killing time. It's a lot of killing time. There's a lot of waiting around in this business.
Yep.
Right. So, and days off are just, they can drive you nuts if, you know, if it's really, you know, really hot or, you know, something like that. So.
A day off just sometimes doesn't feel like a day off sometimes because it's just a lot of waiting and trying to figure out what you're going to do that day.
And you know, it's just like I just said, you know, it's like, where am I? You know, like sometimes you stop keeping track. And, you know, people are always like, hey, I'm going to see you Tuesday night. And I'm like, where am I Tuesday night? I don't know. You know, I don't even get the schedule until right before we leave. We go out on that run or whatever, you know. I don't even check it myself. You know what I mean? So, you know, asking me questions about a show that's going to happen 6 months from now, I'm like, I don't even know where I'm going to be tomorrow yet.
Let me get a few more viewer comments in here for you. Jamie and Jimmy Gilcrease are in here, and they say,
hi guys, I know you.
Nice. They say, Tesla has meant that for my wife and I, takes us back, meaning the music takes us back. Timmy Napier Steve saying hi from Florida. Florida's in the house.
Hi, Timmy.
Yeah,
and yes. We.
I know all of these people that are on here.
Dax Anderson, hey guys, sorry, just getting on here. Hello from Sioux Falls, San Diego,
South Dakota.
San Diego.
It's all good.
SD does stand for San Diego.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's really cool. So we'll start wrapping things up with you. Tell me what do you see maybe the next year holding as far as like any of your projects, maybe planning on some new music coming out. I'm assuming more touring for sure. What's on the horizon?
Yeah, I think, you know, Tesla's in touring and playing shows for the rest of the year. I mean, pretty close to the rest of the year. We do have a single coming out, I think in December, Frank said. Cool. It's All About Love.
Cool.
It's All About the Love.
Great.
And we've been playing that one live every night for a while. And so that's coming out. You know, next year we're just going to do the same thing and just keep going, keep slugging it.
Very good. And, do you think the End Machine will ever do any shows? Or is that more of a studio project?
Oh, that is the big question. We want to do shows. The logistics of it is virtually impossible to happen. However, nothing's really impossible, right? You know,
right.
We can make this work somehow. I'm pretty sure that nothing would happen with it, with Jeff and George busy on their final tours and their respective bands, you
sure.
know? And so that, you know, both of them are ending in 2025. I think, I'm pretty sure Foreigner was going to end in 2025 too, right?
Sounds right. Know? Sounds right.
You don't know?
That we don't know anything.
You know, so we'll go out again next year, and I don't know. George and I talked about it. I know there's going to be another End Machine record, and I know that we'll do that. But we'd really like to do some live stuff. But you know, we have to get Grish over here from India too, and all those things. So is it possible? Yeah, I mean, you know, sure, it could happen. But is it going to be? Is it virtually impossible? I don't know. You know?
I feel
we'll have
you.
We'll have to see how that works out.
And you said something that made me really happy. You said Tesla just plans on continuing going. So I take that to mean there are no talks of stopping that anytime soon either. Very good.
No.
Very good.
No.
And you didn't. Go ahead.
I think, you know, I think as far as Tesla's concerned, I mean, we'll go until somebody, you know, just falls over.
That's good news for the fans.
Which this leads into my next question. You did mention.
It'll probably be me first, though. But
Right. Which you did mention, Brian Wheat and Frank, and of course, Jeff. How are those guys doing? How are their healths holding up and everything? And
great. Yeah, cool. Great, cool. Man. They, you know, after 40 years almost of doing this, they know how to do it. You know, they know what they need to do and how to do it. And man, it's incredible.
Do you ever just kick back and look at them and go, wow, like, this is amazing. Like, just kind of watch them, how they kind of, you know,
operate
through it all.
You guys have interviewed Jeff before, so know it's a three-ring circus of fun.
Right.
You know, and sometimes it's like, all right, I need a break. But and everyone's like that with me too, so I don't know what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, these guys have an interesting dynamic, and you know, it's like watching family members. You know, when you go to somebody's house and they have brothers and all the brothers and sisters or everyone sitting around a living room, you know, you just watch the dynamic and how it happens, and it's really cool. Yeah, it's really cool to be around it. You know?
Love it. You are the perfect addition to that band, and that band is beloved by many. Let's put this up on the screen one more time. Guys in our area, please go out and get your tickets to this show. It'll be November 13th here at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, Tulsa. Purchase your tickets at tickets.hardrockcasinotulsa.com. By all means, get on teslatheband.com and see where Tesla's going to be playing in your area, and go check out that show as well. Scott, do you have anything else for Steve before we cut him loose?
I just want to say that I
have a question too.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm looking forward to the new Tesla single, and I'm also looking forward to you guys coming to the Hard Rock Casino November 13th. I will be there, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
So.
Now, my question was, were you there last time we were there?
I don't believe so.
Silence over there.
Rocklahoma, though. Rocklahoma, we were there.
Yeah.
But I think that might have been.
When was the last time Tesla played that?
Yeah, that's been
you tell us.
Well, because we were at the Tulsa Hard Rock last year, the year before, maybe.
I know we didn't make that one.
I was there, so I know.
Well,
you know, maybe you guys were having your knitting circle that.
Well, we do our cover band too, and sometimes those, you know, get in the way of really kick ass shows, man. It's like,
you know,
damn it, we're playing at the so and so bar, and so and so is going to be at the freaking arena. You know, it's like,
yeah, all five people showed up.
I know.
You know how that works.
I really want to go see my friends, and I'm like, I'm playing, I can't.
But you know what? If we would have said yes, we were at that show, he would have put us on the guest list. But now we just screwed ourselves out of that. So we should have lied and said we were there.
I have news for you. I am the last person that you should ever ask for passes, because I don't get any, and it doesn't work that way. And everyone gets mad at me, but I'm just like, sorry, there's nothing I can do about that one.
Yeah.
But this time I'll make sure that you guys are completely ignored.
Hey, you don't even have to try. It happens automatically.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Endorsements.
I'm kidding. I'm going to keep an eye on it. You guys better be there.
Endorsements. DW, right?
DW, Sabian Symbols.
Sabian Symbols.
Drum heads, Bromark sticks.
And who's your sports team? What sports teams do you like? Any of them?
I do.
Oakland, Noel.
Yes.
Las Vegas.
No, I'm not a sports guy. Sorry.
What? What's wrong with you?
The days that, you know, like there's a game on or something like that and everyone wants to watch it, those are the days that Dave Rudin and I go to the mall together.
No, that's when you're... That's when you're doing your knitting circle. That's when you're doing your knitting circle.
Yes. That is my Dave Rudin, Steve Brown knitting circle. Yeah. You should see, between our bunks and the bus, we have a string that goes across. And I'm like, are you working on the left sock? I'm working on the right one. It's really great.
You know what's funny? I find that all the intellectual guys are not sports fans. So this must speak very highly of your intelligence level.
Man, you are fishing for that one. That is now you're going way too far out of your league.
Jamie and Jimmy Gilchrist says he's a badass drummer. That's the sport.
Oh,
I love you guys. I see them a lot. They're friends. They're awesome. Nice. And Jimmy and Tommy Whitecotton too is a friend of a personal friend of Brian Wheat's.
I think Tommy had to bail. He said goodbye earlier, but hey, listen,
well,
Steve.
He's got a few things to do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to send you the link to this when we're off here, and if you
all right.
in all your free time to kill between states, if you want to get back in here and tell your people you love them and
share it on your page
and share it on your page and all that good stuff,
yes.
we would appreciate
absolutely.
That. And I promise you, we're going to be at your show. I promise we'll be there. So
you can't promise that.
November 11th.
Yes, I can.
At the last minute, you might have a gig or something.
No, because it's during the week, so we'll just have our day job to contend with.
November 13th.
Right. It's all good.
Okay, well, then good. At least you'll go back really hungover the next day.
We love you, my friend.
Well,
you be careful out there. Take care of yourself. Not
right,
too many chocolate donuts.
Me.
All right, buddy.
What does the rest of your shirt say? Admit it.
Oh, yeah.
It says... life would be boring without me in it.
Boy, ain't that the truth.
I think something like that. I don't know. What is it
there,
say?
Yeah, you're right.
Without me. Yes.
Very
life
good.
Life would be boring without me.
But all right,
had
man.
That modeling thing. That was a really great.
That's good stuff. Go get
perfect.
Some sleep. Go get some sleep.
Flawless.
Go get some donuts, okay?
All right. I'm
all right.
on my way to do it.
All right. Love you, bud. We'll see you later.
Thanks,
take
guys.
Care.
Bye.
Thank
thanks.
You so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
Very cool.
Nice guy.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was a good one. God,
yeah,
I knew
fun.
He was going to be fun. He really is. I bet he gets sick of hearing this, but he is a lot like his brother. Because in the brief interaction I had with Mick, he was just fun, just like that.
Mick's got more of an accent.
Well, that doesn't make him less fun, though.
And what's funny is sometimes Mick sounds like he has a New Yorker like accent.
Yeah,
know,
I told you what he said to me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yay, girl, come here. Hey, you did your homework. Nice job. I don't know if that's New York or not, but that was a terrible Mick Brown impression. I'm sorry.
Oh, that was great.
Anyway, good times.
Thank you so much, Steve. Check them out, guys. They're all over the place. Tesla the Band, was it .com, their webpage?
It's teslatheband.com. You are correct.
Cool.
That is correct.
And check out all the places that those guys are playing. And, of course, he's still in Oleander.
Oleander. That's a hard name to say.
Oleander.
There it is.
And also on Spotify, you can check out The End Machine, the Phase 2 and The Quantum Phase.
Whoa.
Both great albums. You know, Will Hunt played with them for a little bit as well. So check out the new album. Good stuff, man. Really good stuff.
Yeah, want to give some love to our people here in the chat room before I get on to our sponsors. Jamie and Jimmy, it's nice to have you guys in here. I don't know if I've seen you in here before, but thank you for joining tonight. I'm glad you enjoyed the interview. Hello to Elizabeth, Leslie, Melissa, Barry Hill, Dax Anderson, Derek Calhoun, Gilligan, so many more of you in here. Dax Anderson, I love this show. We love you, bud. Thanks so much for your support. You guys are the ones that are helping us grow this thing, so we appreciate it. Let's talk about our sponsors. DEB Concerts is bringing this amazing show to town. This is almost here, guys. Saturday.
The Iron Maidens.
Yeah, Saturday, August 3rd, the Iron Maidens will be here with special guest Dime Store Riot. This is going down at the Shrine, which is in downtown Tulsa. Pick up your tickets, just $25 at stubwire.com. And this show is hosted by Eddie Trunk. Always a good time when he comes to town. So go check out the Iron Maidens. And then just not too long after that show, here is Rocklahoma. It is up on us. I saw Rocklahoma bitches in the house earlier, by the way. Hello, bitches. We love y'all. Go to Rocklahoma and have a great time, guys. It's going to be an amazing time. Check out the DEB concert stage out there. It's going to be a fun time. Thanks to our new sponsor, Bill's Bud Connection. If you need your medical cannabis card, it's just $60. If you get a hold of Carolyn, you can call or text her at 918-521-9349, and she will hook you up with that. Do you have creepy critters crawling around your house that you need killed immediately, like we do? Get a hold of Todd Brannon at Pest Patrol. He is residential and commercial, licensed and insured. For all your pest control needs, call 918-582-7378, and he'll get those creepy crawlers out of there for you. How are your pipes doing? Are they clogged? Do you have any plumbing needs? If so, get a hold of our friends at Horizon Plumbing. Call Horizon Plumbing at 918-258-9100. Those guys are fantastic. We would not use any plumbing company other than Horizon, so use them for all your plumbing needs as well. Thanks to our legacy sponsors, Sycamo Filmworks, Identity Merch, and Shipman Photos. We appreciate all of you guys for making our show possible. Now, we talked about this at the beginning of the show. You guys can always see us live or the replay on YouTube, Facebook, X, and Twitch. Please subscribe to our YouTube page. We are growing that thing slowly but surely. It is climbing in numbers, and we like that. So make sure you subscribe, hit the notification bell so you always know when we go live on there. Tell the folks again, if you would, about our podcast platform.
Well, make sure you follow us on Facebook, and we are now we have our blue check mark on X.
Yep.
So
we're verified.
We are verified. I feel like up there on Twitter.
You feel what's X. The word validated? We're validated. Finally validated.
But yes, check us out on your way in your way to work or on your way home from work. We are on Spotify. All of the podcast platforms like Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast, and Podcast Index.
Yeah, that's the one I used to replace. I guess Google Podcast went away, so I found out that we are over there as well. So definitely you can listen to us in your car or as you're jogging or running to get chocolate donuts like Steve Brown's probably doing right now. So check us out either on video or podcast platforms. Again, we appreciate you guys being in here. So many nice comments in here. We'll definitely be sharing this with Steve, sending over the link to him. We're working on getting more episodes put together for you all. It's a work in progress all the time, always working. And I don't think we should talk about who we almost have, but a cool one that we're trying to firm up and secure. We got, I think it's going to happen, but I don't want to spoil it. So
yeah, but we do appreciate each and every one of you for joining with us in the chat room and leaving your comments for all of our guests. We really appreciate it. And tonight was just as great as all the others. And we can't do this without you guys. Nope. And thank you for the donations, sending the stars, all that.
Thank you.
You can always help us with that. And of course, we're at Cash App. Tulsa Music Stream.
Yep, every little bit helps. We got hit with a new monthly fee this week, so they keep
Twitter.
Tacking on the fees. X marks the spot. So really, if you guys feel inclined to support what we're doing, that Tulsa Music Stream Cash App is, every little bit helps. So hate to be begging, but you guys do help us stay on the air. So we appreciate y'all. So we will continue working to book more great guests like Steve Brown. That was so much fun. And we certainly wish you guys a great week. Stay safe, stay cool, and we'll see you next time. You got anything else?
Just have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you here shortly. We'll be putting things up on our Facebook page of who we got up coming up, and just stay tuned.
Love you guys. Have a great night. We'll see you next time on Tulsa Music Stream. Good night.